Part 14. Memory's Flickering Light. The natural world does not optimize. It merely exists. Ken Caldera. 50. Beth yawned and stretched and looked at the big foaming breakers curling onto a beach, splashing with a churning roar out to the edge of her wall. Relaxing, lapping ocean sounds were a pleasant wake-up call. She had surfed there once a century or so ago, and very nearly drowned. Her wrenched back had taken a while to stop complaining. Now her muscles ached, and spoke to her of her many hours in the lead pilot's chair on the flight deck. They hadn't enjoyed it, and neither had she. "More fun to get worked over in a wave," she thought, fuzzily. "I wonder if there are surf-worthy waves somewhere on the bowl? Maybe when a hurricane's running somewhere, safely, far away." She got up and trooped down to the head and spent 3 days' allotment of water on a hot shower. It helped ease her back muscles, and she could think again, too. About how to deal with Red Wing and Cliff and all the open doors she was about to slam shut. She slumped through the mess in her bathrobe, ignoring Fred, who was reading his tablet anyway, and scored a big coffee hit in her exercise cup. Then back in bed in the wall, now running a restful English village, with enough background sounds of breeze and birds to let her forget the ghastly silence aboard Sunseeker. It wasn't easy for Sunseeker's chief pilot to ignore the quiet. Sunseeker was at rest, motors down, shields down. Only a pattern in the bowl's magnetic fields protected her from a flood of interstellar radiation, and an alien magnetic pattern, the diaphanous, was shaping that. The silence was eerie, after she had spent so long under its background working rumble. Now came a massive, heavy thump. A tanker, she thought. Tankers and cargo craft were a cloud around Sunseeker, and there were thumps and scraping as one or another mated to the ship and masses moved through the airlocks. Some robots dispatched by the folk clumped and clanked across the hull on magnetic graspers. She took a sip and shut out the fevered world. Email first, to get up to speed after 10 hours in the sack. She plunged in. The very first was a slab of homework from Ten and Reeve. She had craftily recorded nearly all her interactions with the ice mines, at least those rendered in speech within the machine they had her trapped in. She had asked them to use audio rather than somehow making a voice resound in her mind. In the middle of the transcript, captured on her phone and patched up by a shipboard artilect, was a nugget. "You must realize that Glory is not a true planet, but rather a shell world. Many different species of intelligent Glorians live on concentric spheres with considerable atmosphere spaces between them. Many pillars support this system, and powerful energy sources provide light and heat. Entirely different life forms inhabit the differing spheres. The innermost shells support life without oxygen. These kinds come from deep within ordinary worlds, creatures of darkness and great heat. Some species have made their spheres into imitations of whatever their best-loved environments are. At the very top is a recreation of a primitive oxygen world, flush with forests and seas. This outer shell your astronomers have studied. You conclude that Glory is a succulent target for a colony. That upper layer is deceiving. Perhaps deliberately so, we do not know. Certainly Glory is not a simple prospect for your kind. The Glorians who constructed this shell paradise of theirs also communicate on scales of the galaxy itself. They do not use simple electromagnetics as you do. There are many worlds, many of them ruled by machine intelligences, who use electromagnetics over stellar scales. Emitting in these ways reveals an emergent society capable of beginner technologies. Most keep silent, their radiated power low, fearing unknown perils. We often found such silent planets. We were drawn to worlds we knew by distant examination were life-bearing, yet electromagnetically quiet. The Glorians disdain such societies. They wish to speak over many long eras with greater minds, those who can blare forth using gravitational waves. Those waves are far harder to detect, and stupendously more difficult to emit in coherent fashion to carry messages. here again, to radiate at all is a show of power. These signals you primates have detected but cannot translate. That is unsurprising. So thus have many minds discovered, over many millions of your years. Some of these who hear but cannot understand gravitational waves, the Bowl encountered long ago. The gravitational message landscape is an intricate puzzle few solve. We ice minds have unraveled the Glorian waves with the help of the Diaphanous. It was a lengthy labor. They are strange, intriguing, and imply much more than they say. We now wish to know the Glorian Masters ourselves, to join in their company. That is why the Bowl now feels itself ready to approach. Before we did not dare. For you primates to dare is surely folly. Beth took a deep breath and watched people from another century, when she grew up, of course, walk down the streets of the English village, the sea breeze sighing, birds all a-twitter. So the ice mines were making their case for some of Sunseeker's passengers to stay. Fair enough. The problem was going to be Red Wing. Next came data and text from Tananarive and ship Artilex, dissecting the events with the Diaphanous. Carl and the theory Artilect had worked out some ideas about what the hell the Diaphanous beings who had killed Claire could be. Self-organizing magnetic fields, smart bellies full of plasma, harvesting energy from the jet, and bigger than planets? Well, the jet was a puzzle, and managing it seemed beyond the folk. She and the others had ignored that problem, now pretty obvious once you thought of it. Who mustered solar storms to the jet base? Who got the mag fields aligned so the jet was under steady control? Something big. Beth tried to envision what would radiate waves kilometers long. That could induce enormous electric fields inside Sunseeker and sound waves, too. To such creatures, humans might be as inconsequential as the lice that pestered the skin of a blue whale. Without the Diaphanous, the whole Bowl system was impossible. Want someone to manage a star? Take the children born in stellar magnetic arches evolved there. Hire the locals. Enough. She left off the reading to get ready for her appointment with Red Wing. Time to don the battle uniform, gal.